We bow our heads in prayer. Gracious and heavenly Father, today we celebrate the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We celebrate who we are because you have created us, you have sustained us, and you continue to grant us life in your name. Bless us this day as we celebrate, as we come to your table, and as we hear your word. May your word be a light upon our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. Our service this morning is somewhat different than normal, because we are trying to work in that whole confession of the Athanasian Creed. Can you imagine the culture of that day, that you had to have a creed like this to talk about what it is to be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? You wonder what was going on at that time. Holy Trinity Sunday is important in the concept of the church because it is the pivot. We pivot from the first half of the church year, in which our focus is upon the ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And now we pivot to the second half of the church year, where there it is God at work through His church. God working through you and me together in ministry, in our time, in our culture. On Thursday and Friday, our district met in convention, the Rocky Mountain District of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. It's hard to believe that it is also in this year that our district was 100 years old. Now, if you think about that, this congregation is older than the district. Conventions are a reminder of how God works through His church. Each generation is called to be active, to be a witness, to be alive, to be filled with the Spirit. That's what this Sunday is all about, how the Spirit poured out upon the church, moved the church in new and marvelous ways. We have been called to be His witnesses, to share in the message of salvation. Our SAS, Dr. Alfonso Espinoza, who also teaches at Concordia Irvine and ministers to a church, has a book called Faith That Engages the Culture. It's a thought-provoking challenge on how our church, the body of Christ, engages the culture in which we find ourselves. How is the important truth of the gospel to be shared in a culture that is radically changed? In a culture where truth is what you want to make it. The book calls for Christians to be that loving community that lets the light of the gospel shine through it and becomes a witness to its culture. And sometimes when I think about all of the implications of that, and the years I've been in ministry to watch what's happening in our culture, in our world, and yes, even in the church. How many of you know your neighbors by name? How many neighbors do you regularly visit with? Are you one who greets people in the coffee shop? How about those members of your family who have fallen away from the church? Do you take the time to show them that love, to minister to them? We live in a culture that is focused on me. It's all about what's in it for me. And yet, What we really need to see is that transforming light of the gospel. And in the midst of all of this is our text for this Sunday. It's a pivot point. Here in John's gospel in the 8th chapter, we hear how before Abraham was, I am. This is one of the most polemic chapters in John. There is this great controversy between those whom Jesus talks to and what they see in him. It's an argument that really starts at around verse 12. And in fact, many scholars consider this chapter one of the most politically charged sections in all of John's gospel. In this gospel, there are a variety of themes. Light and darkness, verse 12. Identifying the true followers of God, verses 19 and 20, 31 to 38. The Son and His work, verses 21 to 30. And the identity of the true descendants of Abraham, 39 to 47. And as the chapter goes on, the exchange becomes more heated. In verse 44, Jesus calls those who will not accept him children of the devil. Think about that. Those who do not accept the Christ are children of the devil. Here it is, the unbelieving Jew accusing Jesus. Then they turn it on him to being in the league with the devil. They didn't like being called the children of the devil. And then Jesus in verse 49 says to them, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. In verse 49 is that Greek word, tomeo, the same word used in the fourth commandment, where it says, honor your father, your mother, those who have placed an authority before you. Used both in the Septuagint and in Matthew's gospel. Jesus, in this argument, seems to be calling upon the fourth commandment, authority being placed by God in our lives. Who do we honor as you live out your life today? We honor God, Christ. We honor them by keeping His commandments, by living in the power of His grace. When the Word is at the center of what we do and say, when we guard and keep it, and Jesus says, when we do that, we will never see death. And then they have that encounter once again. The Jews countered with Abraham, the prophets, they all saw death. How can you then say that we will not see death? And then Jesus identifies their father, Abraham, as the one, yes, created by God. He implies that, yes, these who think they know the Scriptures really don't know the Scriptures, because they want to say we are slaves to no one. We are free because we are children of Abraham. Yes, an interesting point. Sometimes when we say, we know someone. What does that really mean? To know someone. We could all say we know the President of the United States. But who of us really knows or have met with that individual? Jesus calls the Jews on the carpet. He tells them that they are the children of the devil. They had a hard time understanding understanding Jesus as the Son of the Father. Just as when the Athanasian Creed was written, people had a hard time understanding the concept of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. How true is that for us today? We use those words in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We talk about Jesus as being a very big and important part of our lives. Is God really within us? We live in a me time. Our culture thrives on individuality. To make that point more perfectly clear, in 2019, survey done by Business Insider, it tells us in 1962, half of all 21-year-olds were married. In 2019, that was down to 8%. We thrive on our individuality. When we talk about businesses, they come into being thanks to the help of others, and oftentimes we hear people talking about how they made themselves into who they are. What about when we live in neighborhoods? How well do we know each other? Do we believe that our neighbors are there for us to love and share with? Because you see, none of us is an island. We were created to be in community. We were created to be one with another. And yet our world moves us to this ragged individualism. The Jews' argument was all about me. We are free. We are not slaves to anyone. And how many times do we want to say that in our lives? And yet Jesus says to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. The Jews understood that phrase. They understood that Jesus made himself like God. And they were ready to pick up stones because they had considered what he said to be blasphemy. We are free. We hear that phrase all of the time. What does that mean? In the early church, one of the things our president talked about in one of the comments he was making about the culture in which we find ourselves is that in the early church, if you were study, when a church began, as it reached out to pagans, how did the pagans see Christians? It wasn't, when they wrote about Christians, it wasn't about what they believed or what they taught. They were remembered in pagan culture as the Christians loved one another. Too often in our culture today, we are so pressed to make it about what we believe and teach, when it's about a relationship. It's about our relationship to one another in Christ. It's about loving each other even in those moments when we are unlovable. In the garden, God knew that man should not be alone, and so he made him a helpmate. God placed us into community. God put us in this time and in this space. We know the scriptures. We have been taught well. But head knowledge is not heart knowledge. What we do with that is what is important. How we relate to one another is really what it is all about. Yes, we need those quiet moments in our lives. But we also need these moments when we come together as community, when we work together as brothers and sisters in Christ, because in Christ we are one. And He gives us a community to share and work in. And so oftentimes, we want to talk about what we believe and teach. And we need to be thinking about how we relate, how we share, how we love one another. Is it me? Because when we live me, it's a very self-centered kind of life. Or is it we? We, the body of Christ in this place, sharing, caring, loving one another. That was Jesus' argument, that He had come so that we could have life in His name. He had come so that we could live that life under the power of the cross, death, and resurrection. We have an opportunity to be witnesses this week in VBS. We have an opportunity as we walk out that door to love one another, to share with one another, to let each other know we care about who we are. It's either me, or more importantly, is it we? Amen.